I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I chat with Samantha Ronson. And it's a glorious chat. You're in for a real treat on this one. Before we get on with it though, there's just a few thank yous. So I'd just like to thank Scribius Pip and my friends at the Distraction Pieces Network. Thank you to 76 for producing this podcast. I should also say that if this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track, when you get to the end of my chat with Sam, go and have a rummage in the archives, because there's over 200 episodes. You can hear me chatting to artists as diverse as Chuck D, to Mel C, to Chic, to the Deftones, to Rag and Bone Man, gosh, who else? OMD, and actors such as Maxine Peake, Amanda Abington, Joe Hartley, comedians like Jade Adams, Ed Gamble. Oh, there's stacks. I'll be here all night trying to list them. So go and have a rummage in the archives when you get to the end of today's episode. And also, if you want even more and you like mixtapes and radio shows and stuff, then I have a Patreon page that accompanies the podcast, and I put up 4 shows a week over there. And from as little as about 70p a week, you can get access to all of that and access to another few hundred shows in the archives over there as well. And by doing that, you start to help the podcast, you know, a little bit more as well, because this is a pure labour of love. So any kind of love you can give over on the Patreon, that's much appreciated. Okay, should we just get on with it? Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track podcast with the wonderful Samantha Ronson.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Okay, we are recording. Joining me via the means of Zoom today, Samantha Ronson. Hello.
Hello.
Well, before we get into your records and the song choices today, I just want to ask you, because we're kind of coming to the tail end of a completely bananas year, and you know, you work in a very similar similar sort of trade as what I do, and it's one of the ones that's been hit hugely this year. So I just wondering how you found 2020, both personally and professionally.
I mean, shit. First of all, it feels like Groundhog Day. Like, it's just the same fucking day over and over and over again. I mean, personally, it's been a fine year. I mean, my dog died, which was kind of, I mean, not kind of, it was a total bummer. But it, in the grand scheme of things, compared to what other people have suffered this year, it was very minor. You know, I mean, I've just been home. I've never been home. I don't think I've ever been in one city for this long.
Where is that, Sam?
LA.
LA.
But I mean, even as a kid, I was never in one city for that long either, because my dad was on tour. My stepdad was on tour. My real dad, once we moved to New York, he lived in London. So we went back and forth to London all the time. So I've never just sat still in one. Not since I was probably 4.
Does that feel strange?
Yeah, it's crazy. And also, it's terrifying because I could get used to this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just like, I don't know, feeling, I feel like an old lady, just like, see, just kind of like wander around the potter around the house, figure out what to do today.
Oh man, you just said the word potter. When you start pottering, that's a sign you're getting old. You can't start pottering, Sam. You're too young for that.
Like, what else are we doing? You know, I do my streams and I do shit like that, but like, other than that, like, I'm just like,
yeah.
Me.
So has there been like any kind of socially distanced kind of DJ gigs or anything like that in the States?
I did one streaming one, like in when Fear of God launched the Zenya collection that he did. He had me do a set. So I did it at the store, but I was the only one there. There was like a camera crew and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a bummer because he asked me to do like a yacht rock set. And so I like kind of put together a yacht rock set. And then it turned out that it was only supposed to be a 15-minute set. And then it turned out that the 15 minutes, I think most of it didn't have any audio. So so then I redid it, but I didn't want to replay the set because I didn't know which part didn't have audio. It was just...
Yeah, you just can't replicate playing records in a club.
No.
Well, let's talk records. For track one, so I'm going to ask you the song that you regard as having the greatest ever intro.
I mean, this one's so tough because there's so many good ones.
They're meant to be tough.
I mean...
You can have a couple of honourable mentions.
Okay. I would say, I mean, Prince, Let's Go Crazy. Dearly Beloved. Which I obviously, when my sister was foolish enough to have me officiate her wedding a few years ago, and that is obviously how I started.
Nice.
My bit. Dearly Beloved, we're gathered here today to get through this thing called life. I got a couple laughs and some dirty looks, but
did Prince make a big dent on you growing up?
You know, growing up, no. Once I started, you know, because I grew up in a house with like music was just like there already, so I never really had to like buy it for myself or make any choices. It was pretty well curated, and so I kind of didn't. It was just kind of like we had like a great like 50s jukebox in our living room, and then you know Mark had his like alternative rock playing from his room, and my sister, my twin, we were like really, my sister was definitely like, this is my side of the room and this is your side of the room, and her side of the room had the boombox, so she got to control that. And it was like, you know, she was the one that turned me on to like, I remember when she brought home the Bizarre Ride to the Far Side record and things like that. But, once I got a car is when I started buying music. Yeah. And then that's when I got into Prince. So kind of late.
So you just touched on something there. Obviously, growing up in such a musical house where you said there was just, you know, all variants of music coming from, you know, different rooms. Sometimes people that are in, you know, kind of surrounded by stuff like that, sometimes kind of almost reject it. Or did you just kind of kick against it in any way, or did you embrace it?
I loved it, and I was always like that music nerd that like could like name that tune within like half a second and all that. Like I was like a party trick. But at the same time, I didn't amass any sort of collection of my own. I never had my own anything. I just kind of like, of course, I had like a couple CDs or records or cassettes growing up, but like, and I had my favorites, but I wasn't particularly interested like in finding my own. I guess it was just there, and I had really great curators.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like I had to like rebel against bad taste. So it was just kind of.
Well, let's stay in them kind of formative years, because I'm going to ask you, Sam, what the first song was you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you?
Every Time You Go Away by Paul Young.
Really?
And I think about it now, like, what a sad kid I was. And, you know, and I'm sure it had everything to do with being, you know, with divorced parents that lived in different countries. And my mother was going on the road with my stepfather. So I'm sure I, like, related to that. But it was, I just, like, I laugh about it now because I'm like, that's crazy. I think that was the first CD single I bought.
Right. And what was the emotion that you got from hearing that? What was the, you know, what was the impact? What was the emotion if you had to sort of pinpoint it?
It was just like that longing and that sadness of, because I would get so upset when we had to leave, you know, when we would go on holiday with our father. God forbid going on holiday now. But yeah, when my mother would leave, I would be hysterically crying. So yeah. I think it's that separation anxiety.
Yeah. So if you heard that and you shut your eyes, that's the kind of thing that it'd take you straight back to.
Yes, for sure.
Oh man.
It's nerdy.
And so where was this? Where I just want to get a timeline of kind of like, obviously you've moved around a lot. So you was born
in London.
In London.
Yeah, lived in London till we were about six.
Okay.
And then moved to New York.
Okay.
I lived in New York till 15 years ago.
How was that at 6 years old to kind of up sticks and then go and live in another country? Was it exciting? Was it scary? You know, had you made friends at 6 years old in the UK?
I mean, I had a twin sister, so it didn't really matter.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Art. And also, we're the kids in America. Remember that Kim Wilde song?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Kim Wilde was a poster on my wall.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we thought that song was about us.
That's wonderful. All right, well, look, I guess when you get to New York, that's when kind of school starts at six, so...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Track three, the song reminds you of your time at school.
I mean,
I guess you're at school for a long time. So, you know, if there's one of the earlier ones and then one of the later ones, when your tastes start to develop, you can have a couple.
I can have a couple. I mean, my school was so not... I went to like an all-girls private school in Manhattan. Like there was no music in that school. Like, it was funny because I was thinking about that and I was like, I don't have like, I mean, maybe some, tell that girl to shut up, Transvision Vamp.
Yeah. So how was school? Did you enjoy it?
I mean, I didn't really feel any way about it. It was just like, it was school. I did well, but I wasn't, like, it was just something you did.
Yeah. Did you know what you wanted to be?
No, I didn't. I didn't know what I still don't know what I want to be.
I'm 47, Sam. I ain't got a clue, mate.
should I know by now? I mean, I mean, considering our industry is completely no longer a thing, I guess I should probably figure it out sooner than later.
Was you a creative kid?
I like to read. I was like a nerdy reader, and then I got into writing poetry as like a sad adolescent.
Yeah.
Sad adolescent, as I call it. But I was like terrible in art class. I didn't play any music, didn't play any instruments until I didn't start playing any instruments until I was out of the house.
Yeah.
And was like, wait, they're not just gonna be here? Like, that was a thing. That was a real rude awakening when I went away to college and was like, wait, there's no music. Wait, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Like, I have to figure this out for myself now.
Is that what you've done?
Yeah. I started playing guitar because my stepdad, my first year of college, I lived in Paris. And my stepfather started his career in Paris. So he has a lot of affection for France. And he was there for a long time. So when my mother and my stepfather came to settle me in there, he bought a guitar while he was there that he then left with me because he didn't need to take it home because he had plenty of guitars at home. And then I just hung it up on my wall because I was like, okay, cool, I don't play guitar. And then when I got back to New York, when I moved back to New York and I also didn't have any music there either, I was like, I started playing the guitar because it was a way to have music.
Yeah. What sort of things would you be playing? What was, you know?
I got a Beatles book.
Oh, that'd do it.
I bought like a giant book of Beatles songs.
Well, before we start moving forward to clubbing, I just want to kind of stay in the sort of formative years and ask you, what was the first song that you remember buying from a record store?
I can't remember if it was Wham, Make It Big,
mm-hmm.
or Michael Jackson, Thriller?
Thriller would have been around the same time, maybe a year or so before Make It Big, possibly.
Oh, then. Thriller.
So, I just want to ask you as a DJ and somebody that's obviously, you know, immersed in such a, you know, a musical family, how important were record shops growing up and how important are they now?
I mean, I love a record store and I loved it then. I remember just like, it was just like this world of like a library. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just, you know, as technology advanced and you could like stand at a listening station at like the Virgin Megastore or HMV or wherever it was. And like, you know, cause we had like a pretty meager allowance, so I couldn't really just buy anything I wanted. And, so you would go and you would listen and you would, you know, make sure you wanted the whole album and not just, you know, a few songs. But I mean, even up, especially, you know, when I started DJing and, you know, for us oldies, you couldn't play a record you didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays you just fucking go on iTunes and you're like, oh, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Or you're one of these record pools. But like when I started DJing, it's like you had to walk, you know, barefoot in the snow both ways. But like it really was a fucking pain in the ass. Like, you know, you would go to, there was like, you know, the vintage record stores where I remember paying like $150 for like Express Yourself so I could like match, so I could like play that off with NWA. And you know, you wanted to get to know the record store guy so he didn't just see as you some dumb kid that he was gonna rip off. And,
yeah.
And I mean, it was like a real, you know, I remember going to flea markets, you know, waking up early in the wintertime to go to flea markets to find records and like being so excited when I found Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Because I could play it. Like, even though it was just like a novelty record that I would play just to make people laugh here and there. Mark Wahlberg was actually one of the owners of the first club that I ever worked at. So like, you know, I'll go pretty far for a practical joke. So like finally finding that record was pretty fucking exciting. You know? Like some random flea market on like the Lower East Side or something. But
and so how did that kind of, you know, interest in, you know, flourishing interest in music as you got older kind of move into, right, I'm gonna learn to DJ?
Well, see, still haven't quite learned how to DJ. it was a fluke. Like I had this boyfriend at the time whose brother owned this club and he was the door guy and the DJ didn't show up. So the bar back there, he had been a DJ maybe in like San Francisco or something. So he just kind of figured it out. And we went to my car and got my CDs out of the car. One of those, you know, the Case Logic books. And I played that night, but I'd already started collecting records because I loved the way they sounded. And so I was like, well, let me bring records by the next night. And that was a time in New York where like hip hop clubs played hip hop and non hip hop clubs didn't play hip hop. Do you know what I mean? Like
yeah,
it was 20 cool lounges.
Quite in tribal.
In New York played like trip hop and like maybe some rock and roll and things like that.
When was this, Sam? What sort of years? Where are we talking now?
97.
Okay.
98. So yeah, I was like 20. But I had all these like, you know, when I bought records, I bought hip hop records. So I was like, let me bring records by tomorrow night. So I brought records by the next night and played and got offered jobs. And I remember writing my journal that night and I actually found the journal entry at one point being like, I think I want to be a DJ. And here I am.
What did you like about it?
So I love because I used to always hang out in the DJ booth with Mark or whoever because I liked being out, but I was like super socially awkward.
Really?
So I could like be in the room, just like so much anxiety. So I could be in the room without actually being in the room. And it's pretty awesome. And you get to like control the vibe and the mood and do all that. And you still engage with people, but you always have an excuse to just like, do you know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah. So it was perfect for me. So you have your own space. You can do this. Nobody can bump into you. The bartender or the waitress brings you drinks because they want to make sure the DJ is happy. And you have a place to be and something to do and a reason to be there.
Did you find that kind of initial anxiety sort of ease as you got more confident DJing?
Yeah, I mean, I had just like anxiety in general, just being out and about in places. So at least DJing gave me something to focus on. So I wasn't so focused on what was going on in my head.
Almost like a distraction.
What?
Almost like a distraction.
Yeah, exactly. And so DJing was just kind of like, you know, Mark said to me, it's better to be thought of a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. So basically keep it simple, stupid. So that was kind of what I did. I just played records. I wasn't trying to do anything fancy. But I was a people pleaser. So I just played records that other people liked and worked.
People want to have a good time, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. Play good records for them.
Yeah. And I played records that I like and the other girls like. So the girls are happy. The guys are happy.
Everyone's happy. Well, while we're talking about DJing and records, for track five, Sam, I'm going to ask you the song that soundtracked your years clubbing.
Oh, I mean,
weren't you a clubber? Because every DJ I speak to, and I include myself in this, from the age of like 18, I was DJing. So I never really was the other side of the decks. And so, and if I was, I was quite awkward about it. I was like, oh, this is weird. Like, I'm not doing what I'd normally do in these places. So I'm always interested to know if DJs ever could kind of just throw themselves on the dance floor and kind of lose the inhibitions and not worry about anything, just enjoy it like most people do.
Not a chance. No way. No, if I wasn't DJing, I was just like in the DJ booth with whoever the other DJ was, just kind of just like vibing out. But DMX, Party Up In Here.
Yeah. That'll do it.
I love DMX so much. I mean, he is just the greatest.
So, I mean, being in New York, I mean, kind of what sort of clubs was you going to? I mean, there's no shortage of decent places to hang out there, right?
Was that?
Just growing up and like and clubbing. Was this in New York, most of your early kind of gigs and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I mean, what sort of clubs was you sort of hanging out in then?
I mean, you know, by the time I was going to clubs in New York, like, it was the lounge scene. Do you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't get into, like, anywhere. I looked so young. And so, like, when I was young, you know, when Mark was probably at, like, USA or Limelight or any of those places, I would have got laughed off the block. You know, I mean, when we were in high school, like, the way we got alcohol was at, like, Chinese restaurants.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I don't know who figured that out, but, like, somehow either they didn't care or whatever it was, but that's where we got served. And I remember once trying to go to, like, an Upper East Side bar, and they laughed at me and were just like, come back in 10 years, kid. And I was like, oh.
Crushed.
Yes. So by the time I was going out in New York, it was like that wave of like lounges and this place called Spy Bar that was like the cool lounge, basically.
What would you have wanted from a nightclubbing then?
Like, what was I going out to do?
Yeah, what did you want from a night out?
Either a distraction from like a crush that I had or to hang out with a crush.
Good answer. All right. Let's take you home for track six. A favorite song from an artist from your home county, please. What's the home county? Where are you going?
I mean, what's home? London, New York, LA?
You choose.
New York, Dwick, a Gangstar.
Nice. I'm going to push you for one for London as well.
Favorite song from London? Now or Then?
Whenever.
Fuck, okay. Not making it easy.
Back Then.
Back Then, I mean, I already did Transvision Vamp, right? But who knows if they're from London even. Who's from London?
She is. I actually bizarrely interviewed Wendy James
really?
About 4 months ago. Yeah. She's back out and playing. Well, she was up until lockdown.
Oh, really? What was she doing in between? Has she been doing it the whole time?
She's been making music on and off, yeah. Yeah, she lives in Paris, I think, now. And yeah, she was super cool. She had some, she'd lived the life. Like, you know, she was telling me she went sock shopping with like George Harrison. And yeah, I think she dated Mick Jones for quite a few years, which I never knew. And so, yeah, she had some crazy stories, Wendy James.
I met that Mick Jones from The Clash because my stepdad, Mick Jones from Foreigner.
Yeah.
So I remember meeting him and being like, oh, my dad's the other Mick Jones. And like thinking like The Clash was just like so cool compared to Foreigner. And he was like, well, I wouldn't mind seeing some of his royalty checks. Grass is always fucking greener, right?
Like, always.
No matter who you fucking are, you're Mick Jones and fucking Clash. And you're like, what's happening? I remember being so kind of like, oh, like, you know, because you look at The Clash and being like, fuck everything and like, and being like, oh, okay. All right. Expect that to come from you. You're like, not that kind of guy. All right, wait, hold on. Back to English, like, favorite song. I mean, where's Nick Drake from?
I think he's from Kent. I'm pretty sure he's from Kent, but you can have that because you want to talk about him. Let's talk about him. Oh, just the most delicious voice you will ever hear.
What?
Oh, breaks me in half, Sam, every time I hear it.
Oh, and when I found that album, was it a Pink Moon album?
Yeah.
I just like was like, what?
Yeah.
Like this is, I just couldn't believe it because it was so like, I must have been, you know, like 20. And because growing up, you know, like I really loved like Plastic Ono Band and the Beatles and John Lennon. I definitely always like navigated towards like sad songs. I love sad songs. That always worked for me. And so, you know, you get the pinnacle, which is Nick Drake, yeah. Just like, oh, God.
So I'll ask you this, because I like to ask guests this as well, if they touch on sort of sad songs. If you're having a day where you're feeling down, do you go and put on some disco and shake it off, or do you put on Nick Drake and immerse yourself in it and you know, enjoy that emotion for what it is?
I do, because I feel like to deny it or to try to distract from it, it almost feels lonelier and sadder. Do you know what, yeah, I mean? It's, I remember my sister's husband is Nate Roos from the band, you know, Fun.
Mm-hmm.
And he's written some good sad songs. And I went through this breakup once, and he made me like the perfect heartbreak mix. And it's just so fucking sad. So good. And I love it so much. And like, that's my go-to, is just like, and not only did he write like, not only did he make me the greatest playlist ever, but he also like gave me a breakdown of why each song is on that mix. Like, it was just like so perfect. I was just like, there's this one song on there written from the perspective of a cat that got lost and now can't find his way home. And it is, I mean, I cried the first time I heard it. And I'm not like a weepy person. Like, yeah. I'm not like crying commercials, but I literally full on cried when I heard the song. Yeah. It's so dark. Yeah, I like sad song. I really like to dive into it.
Okay, for the last track, you can do what you do best, which is DJ. And so for this, I'm going to ask you for a song that many may not know that you would like them to hear.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many may not know. I mean, there's this new Locke song with DMX on it called Bout Shit, and it's just great.
Okay. Has it just come out?
Yeah, it's like a new The Locks record, but I don't know how it popped up in one of my finds, but I love DMX so much. I just really do. I mean, that's so like the era that I, you know, like my growing up as a DJ, like playing records was played hype club records, like Swiss Beats, like was like the pinnacle of that shit. Yeah. And nowadays, like when like a song like Hotline Bling or one of these like mumble rap songs are like the number one record and you have to play it and you're like, this isn't a hype record. This isn't a club record. It felt like rappers and yeah, I guess maybe mostly rappers, like the hip hop hold like genre, like they made music for the clubs.
Yeah.
And maybe it was because like hip hop didn't get much love on the radio. So like that's where the shit hit.
Yeah.
But like, Like radio, stop playing hip hop. So like, don't make music for clubs. Like, make it for us. I don't know. I feel like a lot of music, a lot of like the biggest records right now are not 0 to 100 is a pretty big. It's like a fun club record. But there's, it feels like rappers don't make music for the clubs anymore.
Yeah, I hear that totally.
And I really want them to start.
Well. Sam, what we do is we put together a Spotify playlist to accompany this podcast. So we'll put on all the records that you've chosen and some of the others that we spoke about as well.
Oh, wow. Be very schizophrenic.
I want to hear your Heartbreak mixtape now. And so as we come to the end of a very strange year, and we're all being positive that 2021 is going to be a year of kind of coming together and connection again and some more freedom and stuff. What are you looking forward to personally and professionally?
Professionally, I'm looking forward to maybe making a dollar. I don't know. I've been doing so many streams. It will be fun to have all the people that have become part of like my online kind of community. Yeah. It would be fun to have everybody kind of together. But you know, I'd like to see my parents.
Yeah.
You know, like Mark's been out here. Mark's had to travel for work, and my twin sister lives up in Santa Barbara, so I see her. And but you know, I like my, the English side of my family. I haven't seen since February.
Oh,
my
wow. Mother.
And thank God I just happened. My last big trip was to London, and my girlfriend was going over there because she for work. So I went with, and then, I haven't seen my mother, my stepdad since January when I went to, it's just like, you didn't realize if somebody had told me that, you know, the middle of March, that was going to be the end of it.
Yeah.
I would have done it in New York, but I didn't. Yeah. The last trip I did was DJ up in Sacramento, so I'd like to see my parents.
Yeah.
Seems like it'd be a nice thing to do. You know?
Them first DJ gigs back, they're going to be special as well, right? The thought of there being people in a club, like, and getting to play records again, like, and seeing that kind of community on a dance floor, that's going to be special.
Like, I've always been a DJ that plays for the room, right? Mm. Like, I was pride myself on the thing that I'm best at is making any room dance, right?
Yeah.
No matter who you are, what the cross section is. So to do that, I don't know who the fuck is watching my streams. Like,
yeah.
I know like I can see names and I recognize names over time, but like I don't know what you like. I don't know what makes you dance. I don't know. So like, you know, you see the numbers change in the room, you're like, oh, do they not like that song? You're like trying to play for the room, but I don't know who the fucking room is. I just want to play for a room of people in front of me that I know if they're enjoying it or not. That's it.
Oh, we're all looking forward to that. We really are. Sam, thank you so much for your time today. It's been really nice talking records with you. And I guess we're at the time now. Is it too early to start saying have a nice Christmas? I guess we're getting close, right?
Celebrating Christmas since like June. Who knows what day it is anyway?
Oh, wait, Thanksgiving. You told me at the beginning, which I never knew. So have a wonderful Thanksgiving and take care, Sam. It's been really lovely talking to you.
You have a good one.
There you go. What a lovely chat. And what an incredible life. What, you know, who gets to go from, you know, London to New York to Paris to LA? Like, amazing. And, you know, and to be able to kind of DJ along the way as well and you know, and be immersed in such a, you know, a musical family. Absolutely incredible. Thank you so much to Samantha for giving up her time and coming and chatting records. It was really, really enjoyable. And I hope you lot got as much joy out of listening as I did chatting to Samantha. We're back next time. In the meantime, if you see us on the socials, give us a like, love, share, retweet and all of that. Better still, if you can subscribe to the podcast, that really helps. And as mentioned at the beginning, there is a Patreon and there's access to hundreds of episodes over there if you've exhausted the hundreds that are in the archives on the general releases. So, yeah, go and get stuck in. You can find out about everything you need to know to do with this podcast at www.offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. I'm back next time. Thanks ever so much. Be excellent to each other. See you soon. Bye-bye. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing. www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year. And they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music. And they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All of the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk. Official sponsors of Off the Beaten Track podcast.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, Stu Whiffin.